Reading is from Acts chapter 4 and verses 5 to 12, and it's on page 1095 in the Bibles. Sorry, something's happening here. Oh. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the great high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone.
Yes.
Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Sorry. Thanks be to God.
Part of me wants to rush and get on and preach, actually, but I'm just going to hold fire just for a minute, because one or two people spoke to me before the service. Don't apologise, for God. Don't apologise. It's just God at work, and God is an amazing God, and often catches us when unawares, actually. So, one or two people spoke to me at the start of the service, because last week I'd said, Andy had preached about the God in the ordinary things of life, and God being an extraordinary God, and how God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. And I did say or suggest that people should come back with testimonies. And one or two people spoke to me before the service. You know who you are, so don't wait for me to come and point at you. Do you want to just come? Yeah. Yep.
Some of you might know I've had repeated bouts of bronchitis and not been feeling very good. So last Sunday morning I was sat very quietly at the back trying not to cough too loudly. And there were some little children behind me, some little three-year-olds and three, four-year-olds. And one little girl was just singing, I think it was during the sermon, might have been during the prayers, Jesus, 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 over and over. And the other little girl said to her, why do you keep singing that? And she said, because I like him. And you know, that's just stayed with me all week, that kind of like, I like him, I love him. And so I ought to be happy to sing about him wherever I am or speak about him wherever I am. So this week, excuse me, I've been to the hospital for some tests, and a nurse was kind of trolling me along the corridor, and she said, I know you. And I said, I don't recognise you. She said, yep, I recognise you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. And I said, oh, I've got a familiar face. So we did that whole conversation. And was I a nurse? No. We did all these things and it stopped. And then we went into a room and it came into my head just to say, do you know me from church? And so I said this to her, do you know me from church? And she went, that's it. That's it. I know you from the church in Blurton, which is where I used to go. And she said, I haven't been for years. I used to go when my children were little, and I used to see you there. She said, but I ought to go again, didn't I? Do you think God would want me back? And so I just talked to her about how God would want her back. So I think it was just that reminder of those children speaking that and saying, yeah, I should talk about him, that encouraged me to speak to her. So I pray that she does go back and just find a relationship with God again.
Well, I'm not certain that I believed Andy when he said it was going to be so easy to see God in the ordinary. And you think, well, it will be for somebody else, but not for me necessarily. Last Sunday afternoon, I did what I do every Sunday, and I went to see my mum in her nursing home. And she didn't know me at all on Sunday. But she was very agitated as well, and it was not nice to see. So in the end, I kept talking, but in the end I just had to put the TV on to try and distract her. And the volume came up quite loud. The nurses had set the volume. And it was songs of praise. And no, I wasn't singing along, but I was sitting there talking to Mum about just about how we used to go to church together and whatever. And suddenly the door opened and this huge male nurse came in who I'd never seen before. And he plonked himself right next to Mum's chair. And he stood and he looked at me, down at me. He was enormous. And he said, "I just love this song, these songs." He said, "I love this program. I love working Sunday afternoons when this is going to come on." He said, "I've never been to church in my life. Have you?" And at that point, I thought, oh, God, this is so easy. It was so funny. And the poor man had to excuse himself in the end and get back to his duties. So it was easy.
Anybody else, quickly? Yeah, you're going to have to run. Run, yep.
I'm glad you like songs of praise, because we've got the chap who used to be over songs of praise working for UCB now. He's come to work in the development department in the broadcasting. Anyway, back to, yeah. I've been to work on and off, which you can understand. Anyway, I'd got a pile of work. And I was really concerned that I'd got this pile of work. Because part of my job is to thank people, invite them to a tour day at UCB. And I said to the Lord, I'm sorry I've got this pile. I will get through it. And the first call I made was from a lady who'd just lost her husband. And she said it was very sudden, and he only died a few days ago. And I thought, Lord, your timing is perfect, because if I'd have been doing my work and thanked this lady, the husband was alive and well, and he died very. And the next call was to a gentleman who just lost his wife, and I'm thinking, Lord, you amaze me. And so we just have to trust that God's timing is always perfect. It's never too early, it's never too late.
It's wonderful to have testimony, because often we say these things from the front, and you know, within a week, God has, and it's just wonderful to have eyes to see God at work in the ordinary. I want to get into this passage, and I want to start with a story, true story. In our last church, because of where it was situated in the village, but next to the church was a play area, a grass play area, and also we had a hospital in our parish. And we decided that what we would do is every fourth Sunday, for our 11 o'clock service, we'd start off in church, and then some of us would go out to do acts of random kindness, to bless people in the park while the service was still going on and people were praying. Or we did as well, we actually paid for people's drinks in a pub, we also went to the hospital. And we went to the hospital to pay people's parking, because parking in the hospital is expensive, isn't it? So a number of Christians sat by the pay booth and were paying people's car parking. And I thought, as the vicar, it'd be really good if I go down to see what the congregation are doing. So I didn't have my dog collar on, I just sat a few feet away from where the machine was. And it's fascinating watching people. It's fascinating watching these Christians, you know, trying to pay for people's parking, because you think it was easy. No, because everybody thought there was a catch. And one man even asked, I heard him ask, and he said, where are you from? And they said, we're from St. Nicholas's Church uphill. He took a fiver out of his pocket, and he tried to give it to people, because obviously a church, we must need money. The reason I've given you that illustration, it wasn't wrong to do it, it was right to do it, but when you do an act of random kindness, or a random act of kindness, whichever way you want to do it, you can easily get misunderstood. And people can often get the wrong end of the stick, but it shouldn't stop us doing it. So Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage, and as we're reminded of a God who uses the ordinary, Father, I pray that we would do the acts of random kindness for your glory and honour. Amen. We pick the story up here, and Peter and John, they've been amongst the disciples who were baptised at Pentecost, and they've been baptised by the Holy Spirit, and they've started speaking in tongues so that other people can understand the good news of Jesus for the first time in their own language. And a lot of people have thought that they were weird, that they were drunk, and Peter, in his boldness, has stood up and said, no, we're not drunk as you suppose, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, we're drunk on the Holy Spirit, this is why we are who we are, we've been empowered by God. And so after that, the believers have got together, and it's another sermon, they've shared their possessions, God has increased their number, 3,000 plus have been added to their number. And here we pick the story up. Peter and John are going to the synagogue to worship as they always do, and they've gone through to the gate, beautiful. And what they encounter is a beggar who's been crippled from birth. We think he's about 40 years old, roughly. So a beggar, he must be on the floor because he's crippled. And he says to them, can I have some money? Basically, so it's my language. I need some money. I'm a beggar. I need some money. And it's really interesting with this story, because this beggar, this crippled beggar of 40 years, never asked to be healed. But you see, God knew his need. And Peter says, look at me. Give me your attention, he says. And as the man looks at him, he says, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. He takes the man by the hand, and the man walks. This is the act of random kindness that they are now having to stand before the rulers, the Sanhedrin, to explain why. You'd think, wouldn't you? There's been a crippled man begging for 40 years. He's now stood upright, and I love this, because before he couldn't stand up, now he's on his own two feet, and that's biblically and spiritually really important. He's standing upright on a firm foundation. He's followed Peter. He's gone into the synagogue to worship. He's praising God. You'd all be shouting hallelujah, wouldn't you? But the religious leaders have hauled them in front of them to explain why he is healed. An act of random kindness which is completely misunderstood. And Peter, as only Peter can, he gets emboldened again by the Holy Spirit, the passage tells us. And he stands up in front of them and he says the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's how this man's been healed. There is no other name, it says. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man has been healed. The reason I highlight this and say this, and that's why I've had the cross brought forward today. There is no other name by which we do what we do. There is no other name by which we are saved. Salvation, it says, is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. Don't be distracted, don't be diverted. There is no other name by which we're saved. And if you think we can get saved by any other name, try it, let me know, and see if you are. The truth is, it's only in Jesus. And we mustn't be afraid to say that it's all about Jesus. Peter didn't say it was all about him. He actually says it's by the name of Jesus Christ. And then he underlines it by saying, who you crucified. You wanted nothing to do with him. So much so that you crucified him. And you thought it was finished and you thought it was dead, but actually it wasn't. Because God raised him from the dead. And what I want to say is this, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, will not be thwarted. Even though we put obstacles and barriers in the way of Jesus, it will not be thwarted. God raised Jesus from the dead. It was not the end. And you see, the thing for us is, I better slow down, haven't I? Getting a bit carried away. The thing for us is, and the thing for them, the beggar wanted money. Peter very clearly says, I don't have any of those. And to be perfectly honest, this is my interpretation. Even if I did, it's not what you need. I'll give you what I've got, which is Jesus. I'll give you what I've got, and it's Jesus. How often are we ready to do that? We'll give him everything else but Jesus. And Jesus is the most precious, the most important thing that we have. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we do what we do. And okay, this man was healed. But you see, this man was transformed. He was transformed by an act of random kindness. Not only was he transformed, but the passage tells us that the number that were following the disciples, which was 3,000 plus, has now gone up to 5,000 plus. 2,000 extra people because of the healing of this one man. Now, sorry, I'm just doing some sums in my head. 8,500 people in the parish of Trentham, that's 4 people to be healed. 4.5 people to be healed on those odds. But it's back to the ordinary. It's doing the ordinary things. Oh, can you put that PowerPoint up for me? There should be a PowerPoint. I don't know whether you read the same news. Who reads the Daily Mail? Oh, a bit more in this service than the last service. Yeah, there were 2 of us in the last service who reads the Daily Mail. And I did say that you can pray for us, forgive us, you know, all the rest of it. You know who the second one was. But you see, in our paper, next slide, this week, this is an act of random kindness which had extraordinary ramifications. It's the extraordinary moment when an Auschwitz survivor embraced death camp Nazi. I don't know whether you've seen it in the paper, but there's a 93-year-old Nazi, and his name is Oscar Gruning. And he's been tried for the crimes that he has committed. He was a clerk at Auschwitz. Next one, please. And this is a picture from Auschwitz. There's 2 circled girls. The one on the far, your far right, she's the sister of the other one. The one on the far right died in Auschwitz. The other one that's circled, that you can't quite see her face, she survived the atrocities of Auschwitz. And at his trial, she was called to give evidence against him. This is what she did. Next one. She embraced him. She embraced him. The extraordinary moment of reconciliation took place as the 93-year-old former death clerk camp, known as the bookkeeper of Auschwitz, prepared to listen to Mrs. Kaur, that's Mrs. Kaur, Eva Kaur, evidence in a trial that could condemn him to death in jail. She claims, after she did this, that Gruning was so overwhelmed by her unexpected gesture that he fainted. I'm not surprised. But hear what she also says. She was criticised for the act that she did by other victims and their families for her public forgiveness. Not only criticism, she says, they called me a traitor. But she explained, as long as we understand my forgiveness, that the victim has the right to be free, you cannot be free from what has been done to you unless you remove from your shoulder the daily burden of pain and anger and forgive the Nazis. And then she says, not because they deserve it, but because I deserve it. Not because they deserve it, but because I deserve it. What an act, a random act of kindness that's going to have ramifications, not only for her, but for others. And you see, the gospel, the good news which we follow, tells us to bless those who persecute us, to love our enemies, to be misunderstood, to be ill-treated. I was thinking the other day, as I often do, Jesus and his 12 disciples. How many of those disciples got it? How many of those disciples actually understood what Jesus was going to do? None of them. Not one single one of them. And even when he rose from the dead, they didn't get it. They still didn't understand. Yet Jesus persevered with them. And Jesus says, on you, I'm going to build my church. Yeah, but I thought they needed to be perfect. I thought they needed to have it all sorted. No, they needed the Holy Spirit to empower them. And as I said a few weeks ago, I just love God because he's so neat. Because you see, the thing is, sorry, that's my language. You have to forgive me. It's so neat, yeah. I'm sure I'm going to stand before God and say, you're really neat. Because he looks down on us in total and unadulterated love. And we're the apple of his eye. And I know, because I know what I'm like, and I know where I would be without God in my life. I know exactly where I'd be. I know the stuff that I used to carry. I know the fear that I used to have, and the scared little rabbit that I was in the headlights. Terrified of everything and everyone. So much so that even when I was ordained a vicar for the first 2 years, whenever the sermon was coming round and I was preaching, I'd pray to God. I'd pray my socks off. And I'd pray that I'd be so ill that I'd be carried out and I wouldn't have to preach, or that Jesus would come again, whichever was the easiest. I need to stand here like this. But you see, God is so neat because he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness. He takes our fears, our worries, and our burdens, and he transports us into the kingdom of light, where life, where there is freedom, where there is liberty, where there is humility, where there's grace, where there's power, where there's sacrifice, where there's obedience. And yes, I'm not the finished article yet. Oh, that I was. And you're not the finished article. But God, in his grace, love, and mercy, like those disciples, like Peter here and John, he's chosen us. He's destined us. And not only does he come and save us, but he has the temerity to place his Spirit in us. How neat is that? Knowing that we can't do it on our own, he places his Spirit in us. And he says, go, my son, go, my daughter, just let me out. But it's so hard, because we overcomplicate it. And if you're anything like me, I've got a good friend, Andy. Another friend called Andy. He's coming in a few weeks' time. And he's a great encourager. But when you're with Andy, you're always challenged, always challenged. And he was telling me the story how he'd been to a restaurant and God had convicted him, and he'd gone over to another table of four and he'd paid their meal in a restaurant. He just wanted to bless them. So I thought, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. So one Friday, day off, we've gone out, because we always go out for food on your day off. And there's a table of four, we're sat there, the two of us. Two people come over and say, can we join you? Yes, come over and join you. We have a chat. And all the time, my heart's fluttering. All the time, I know what I'm supposed to do. Do I pay their meal? No! And it gets worse. Because we were going on a plane once, and the night before, we decided to go out for a meal. A Chinese were there. And I don't know what you're like when you're out for a meal, but we have banter with people. That's talking to people. And they're on another table. And these two men, they go to pay. And then they shout across to me, how neat is this and how God is this? I don't suppose you're going to pay our meal for us, are you? Pardon? How often does that happen? So, yes, here's the moment. Everton, seize the moment. Seize the day. Do I pay their meal? No! And we get outside and Jeanette says to me, why didn't you pay the meal? I said, I didn't have any money. She said, you've got a card. Whack it on the card. It was too late. You see, what I'd done, I'd put so many barriers in the way and objections. What will they think? What will they say? What will my bank balance look like? And I'm so thankful and so grateful that God is a loving God, because on those two occasions, what have I had to do? Thank you. Say sorry to God. And the wonderful thing is, as soon as I say sorry to God, he says, it's okay, my son. And you know what I know God will do? Thank you. Because he loves to warm us up. And I said this at the earlier service, I'm going to say it now. Please do not invite me out for a meal expecting that I'm going to pay. That's not how it works. This is an act of random kindness. This isn't pre-planned kindness. This is spontaneous. This is doing things so that the glory goes to God. We might not even have to mention the name Jesus, but just go and bless somebody. Just bless somebody. And it's easy if we stop overthinking it. And so what if we get misunderstood? So what if we get it wrong? So what if we get it wrong? Somebody has been blessed, and all of us are capable of doing it. All of us are capable of doing it. And you see here this act of random kindness that the man didn't even ask for, because he asked for money. He was healed. He was restored. He was in his rightful place in society. And how many people need that? How many people need to hear that? How many people need to hear about Jesus? Because salvation is found in no one else, and you might go looking everywhere else that you look. But there is no other place to find what you're really looking for. It has to be found, it is only found in Jesus. And I'll say that unashamedly till the day that I die. Why? Because it's the truth. Salvation is found in no one else. I'm going to encourage us as a group of people to consider doing acts of random kindness. Now, okay, I've told you about the two that I failed. I'm not telling you about the ones where I succeeded. Because actually, acts of random kindness, you don't need to boast about them, do you? Because the glory goes to God. I'm not telling you about the good ones, the ones I got right, because there are some. I'm not that bad. There are some where you just get it right. And it's wonderful. But even if I don't get it right, okay, let's have another go. But I want to encourage us to seize the moment and to bless people and just see where it goes and see what God does. Because I can guarantee you, out of the acts of random kindness, people will start to ask. People will be pointed to Jesus. And that is our heart's desire. That people find faith in Jesus. Amen.